in the studio going, oh shit, because their cell phones just started to ring. It's absolutely fine. We have Stephanie Honeychurch. Stephanie is longtime Islander and campaigner. Fair to say, I think, that she's campaigned for some years now on against the introduction of various forms of wireless technology, cell phone towers we're talking about really, but now with the coming advent of the latest generation of wireless technology, which is known as 5G, so we've got 2G, 3G behind us and 4G on our phones at the moment, but coming across the world is and being developed quickly by China, not so quickly by the United States, and ultimately planned development here in New Zealand is a 5G network, and this is the latest use, the technological terms, the latest use of wireless technology that we're going to be living with. 5G has a much greater ability to carry data, so we will see the internet become a much more facilitated place. We're going to see this thing that they call the Internet of Things take off. That's your fridge talking to your phone, which talks in turn to your garage door, which turns the lights on. The Internet of Things connected through computer chips and wireless technology. So 5G is coming according to the authorities. There's lots of arguments about its health effects. There's lots of arguments about whether it's going to be able to be rolled out completely in any sort of quick time frame because of the technology involved. But to sum up 5G, and it's a very tricky thing to try and do because there are so many varying opinions on 5G. But to sum up 5G, there is a much shorter use of the radio. It uses much shorter radio frequencies, so it carries much, much data. But it is, in fact, less able to penetrate walls. So one of the things that the anti-5G movement is very concerned about is the fact that there will be some sort of cell phone tower, a smaller one, but outside every fifth house or something like that, because it needs so much more bouncing from one transmitter to another. So Stephanie Honeychurch is part of a new group on the island called 5G Free Waiheke. You'll find them at the market every Saturday if you want to pick up some literature on this coming controversy. But Stephanie's agreed to join us this morning on Waiheke Radio to give us that group's sort of view on 5G and why we should be concerned. I think it's fair to say that in almost for every confident affirmation of 5G, there is also a very worried opponent with a very strong view on 5G and its effects on us as humans. It's also even been suggested that 5G will have an incredibly deleterious effect on even living plants and other animals. So, Stephanie Honeychurch, thank you so much for giving up some of your Saturday morning coming in to talk about 5G. I know it's not an easy topic, but you guys have got out there in public. You guys are starting a Waiheke movement against 5G. Would you like to just start off by telling us why?
Why am I concerned?
Yeah, why is there now a group at the market and on Facebook trying to convince Islanders that 5G is a really, really bad idea?
Well, recently...
Hang on. We haven't got you turned up here, sorry. Sorry, just some technical issues up here at the station this morning, but I think we've got it sorted. We've now got Stephanie Honeychurch on microphone 3. Is that working? Lean forward and...
Is it working?
Yeah, we've got you online. Oh, we've got you on air. Stephanie, so sorry about the start-stop introduction, but I think I've covered in some ways the main issue that people would see if they Google 5G, that there is one very different and opposing opinions from both within the scientific community and within the activist community. But Stephanie, tell us why 5G is such an issue for Waiheke people.
Well, it's an issue for everybody around the world.
But Waiheke people are listening today, so...
Well, it is an issue for Waiheke because I think perhaps Waiheke is a little more aware of this issue than most of the country because of we've had a couple of... hard-fought cell phone towers here at Marta Fisher's place on near Corey Road and the bowling club in Surfdale are two that stand out.
Yeah.
In fact, the bowling club in Surfdale was hard-fought for about 2 years.
It was.
Yeah, Vodafone does not like Waiheke.
Who cares? So 5G is coming according to the authorities. It operates at a much shorter frequency. It operates... it carries much, much more data. It requires many, many more cell phone towers, smaller ones, right?
It does.
So what of this scenario is the most worrying thing for you and the 5G?
Well, the worrying thing about 5G is it's not just that about every third utility pole will have a transmitter on it so that everybody will be exposed, but they're also going to have about 20,000 satellites in space to reinforce this. And apart from the health effects, the satellites in space are going to affect weather predictions. It's quite dangerous altogether in many ways.
And for individuals, the issue is a health one.
Yes, you know, there's no question now that it has biological effects. There are literally hundreds of pieces of peer-reviewed research that say so. And recently, a group of international scientists, I think 230, it might be 240, from all around the world, have sent an appeal to the World Health Organization and to governments. And governments like ours have steadfastly ignored it. Because we have the Interagency on Health Concerns, and I should talk to the people of Waiheke about this, that some years ago, in 2009 actually, a petition was formed here in Waiheke about the placement of cell phone towers. And there were other petitions from around the country, from Nelson and from Te Tahi Bay in Wellington. And in response, the government formed a select committee to consider this and the health effects. So Nikki Kaye, our MP, was part of the select committee. Well, the select committee gave the petition signers everything that we actually asked for. We asked for the people of conflicted interest to stop advising the government, and for the regulations, which were set in 1998, to be revisited, and for the World Health precautionary principle to be invoked. And that's what, you know, that's what the select committee recommended. And Nick Smith, as the Minister of the Environment, declined every single recommendation of that committee.
That was a government select committee.
That was the government select committee. He declined every recommendation.
The precautionary principle is a very well-established principle in health and other areas of social life, right?
Yes,
and
it
is. The precautionary principle that the select committee is recommending basically goes, be cautious because we're not sure.
Absolutely. And I would like to say also about this, as, you know, as a result of the select committee, somebody who's been fighting the this issue for a long time, who has a double degree, a lawyer and a biologist called Sue Gray, put in an OIA request asking who had advised Nick Smith to decline the committee's recommendations. And I must say I was absolutely appalled and disgusted. The answer was pages and pages of black lines.
Yeah, that's called redaction. And as journalists, we're very used to that. Well, towards requests under the OIA.
I was disgusted, and I imagine that he was advised by the very people of conflicted interest that we were asking him to get rid of.
So, so in terms of 5G and our daily lives, let's use the word. This is a cancer issue for you.
Well, not only cancer, there's all sorts of other... it's been proven to show changes in plants and insects and animals, you know, there's all sorts of things. Cancer is probably the main one.
Yeah. So, and 5G has this effect because of its much reduced wavelength.
Well, 2G, 3G and 4G are all suspect. In May 2011 at the World Health Organization, the group called IARC, which classified the emissions from Wi-Fi and cell phone towers, etc., as category 2B. In other words, they took them out of the safe category and put them in the suspect category, where tobacco and asbestos were for many, many years, while their industries fudged the evidence. And I'm afraid that the telcos have learnt from the tobacco companies. They're applying the same methods.
Yeah, hard PR and...
And bought science.
And bought science and lobbying.
Absolutely. There's and another thing about 5G, it's going to... I don't know if... I'm despairing of being able to stop it, really, because our government has signed the revised version of the TPPA, and there's the... We still have the part about investor-state disputes. Now, if our government were to do the honourable thing and actually read the 5G scientists' appeal and think, why would all these scientists be scaremongering, and why are there hundreds of studies showing harm? And if they were to do the honourable thing and try to stop the rollout of 5G here... we could probably be sued, which means a closed court with three magistrates, two chosen by the corporate, the corporation that thinks that their profits being interfered with. So
this is globalisation controlling us again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, the arguments back often revolve around the difference between ionising and non-ionising radiation. I mean, we live in radiation all the time through natural and unnatural sources.
Yes.
Can you help us understand the difference between ionising radiation and non-ionising? Because as I understand it, that is, for some people, the safety guarantee around 5G is that it is not the...
That is not ionising, that it doesn't heat tissue, in other words.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only consideration that our regulations take into account. And there are other effects other than thermal. There can't be any doubt about that now.
Yeah. I've seen arguments that this is the same technology used by the United States military in their crowd control.
Oh, well, it is. And it's been used as a stealth weapon for... long time. In 1975, Time magazine published an article how the Russians were microwaving the American embassy in Moscow.
Yeah, right.
Three ambassadors died of rare cancers, three consecutive ambassadors. I don't know if that's coincidence.
You know, one of the interesting comparisons that I've heard about this, Stephanie, is a comparison with the anti-nuclear movement in New Zealand in the 1970s, and the argument goes that became a national emblem of our morals because it started in every community first, and that you would never have got that legislation through if it hadn't been driven from ground level up. And so every community, every local political committee and every local RSA and everything all passed resolutions to say this is a non-nuclear place. I still have a nuclear-free weapons sticker on my office door. You know, that started at ground level and became an international phenomenon. So I wondered if you saw the ground level anti-5G movements as being able to connect a network like that and start to build a opposition from ground up.
I think that's what we're trying to do here.
Mm.
Waiheke's got a pretty proud history that way. I think people here are sort of more aware, and I think perhaps a lot of people here are a bit more educated than many parts of the country.
I think that's fair, don't you?
yes.
Absolutely. Educated. Just naturally clever rather than formally educated. Just brilliant people live on Waiheke Island. I think we've always known that, haven't we?
I hope so. Yeah. But, it has to be a sort of grassroots movement, but I'm not very hopeful because our politicians have made themselves, they're not answerable anymore.
It does look like a done deal, does, for a number of reasons, not just government policy, but in fact things like, can you imagine us not having an Internet of Things now? Is there not too much investment in that direction for society?
It's worth trillions and trillions of dollars to the telecommunications industry, of course, and a lot of powerful people are concerned. However, we don't actually need the Internet of Things. I mean, we're not that incompetent that we don't know how to turn our washing machines on and off, or the toaster, or, when the milk's expired. A lot of it is really sort of unnecessary.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that. But is there an opportunity to knock us off that course?
Well, I keep referring to the scientists' appeal. It's only the last of many. It's been going on for a long time, and they've been consistently ignored by the World Health Organization, by this group of people. The acronym is ICNIRP.
Yeah, tell us about ICNIRP.
Okay, I'm not sure of the number. There's not many of them. It's certainly less than 20. And they're self-appointed.
And this is
covertly funded, so I think we can all imagine where their money may come from. Mm. And they're effectively holding the world to ransom. There is another organisation at the World Health Organisation called IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and they're sort of at odds with ICNIRP, as is the Russian version of ICNIRP, which is called RINKNIRP.
as it would be.
Yeah. And they have always maintained that there's harm to human beings, animals and plant life from microwaves. They've always taken a different approach.
Yeah.
I think the American industrial military complex has sort of driven a lot of this.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's a gigantic experiment. I mean, if we're going to talk about if these emissions are carcinogenic, well, it'll take a while to find out because cancer has a very long latency period. You know, it's decades generally.
People said, though, that there was going to be an increase in brain tumours because of cell phones, and the data shows there hasn't been.
Well, it all depends who you... where you look.
Yeah.
Probably the world's most famous brain surgeon is an Australian called Dr. Charlie Teo, and he says the complete opposite.
Okay.
It
does. For people to make up their own minds on this, they're going to have to do a lot of their own digging, aren't they?
Well, and it's very hard because there's a lot of information out there and you have to wade through it. And when you look at peer-reviewed research. Now, it's got to be peer-reviewed to
be any good. Absolutely, it does.
You will find that independently funded studies are much more likely to find harm than studies funded by the telcos themselves.
Mm.
And there's also, I'd like to sort of talk about the weight of evidence. There's a lot of research that purports to show that there's no harm from these emissions. And the industry PR is that, you know, most research shows no harm, which is perfectly true. However, to use an example, by that criteria, something like peanut allergy wouldn't exist, because most people don't have it. It's very rare.
Yeah.
And, you know, for another example, let's say we were to send a probe to Mars to look for water there, and we sent 100 probes and 90 out of 100 showed no water, but 10 did. I mean, the weight of evidence, we'd have to say, well, there's no water because 90% of the probes showed no water.
I find that there's a parallel here with the issues that we must deal with around chemical sensitivity. I do truly believe that most of us are not chemically sensitive in some ways, and yet others are. And therefore, to say it doesn't affect anybody is just wrong, because it does affect some part of the population.
And that's certainly true. Mm. It's not just cancer that's associated emissions. There's all sorts of things. It appears to affect sleep and depression and all these things have...
So what we're proposing to do is a huge and significant change to our everyday, every moment natural environment.
Well, 5G will blanket the world, even Antarctica. Nowhere will be unexposed.
Yeah.
Even in the middle of the ocean somewhere, there'll be a satellite beaming it down.
Yeah.
There'll be no escape.
How are we going to knock progress, in inverted commas, off its track in terms of 5G when it's a 3-second download of a movie compared to can we hope that people will put their personal interests aside and look at the broader issue? Because I know that if you can download a movie in 3 seconds, that's going to be super popular.
Well, I can imagine that it would be. However, if you thought that, you know, those few seconds were...
Were that important?
You know, were that important? Yeah. I mean, surely you want to live. I mean, these scientists that have signed the 5G appeal, they're saying that this affects everything, that this affects animals and nature. Mm. We're taking an enormous risk. It's a huge experiment. It's actually against the Nuremberg Code. And it should be illegal, but it seems like money talks.
So in the end, this is the impact of corporate power over sensibility.
Absolutely. That's it in a nutshell, really. Okay. And I also, I'm apolitical. I think they're all terrible, to be quite honest.
Couldn't agree more.
And, you know, politicians are...
They bend with the breeze, don't they?
They do. But, I mean, if they actually looked at the facts, you know, if they looked at this appeal that I keep going on about, they would realise that, you know, they have children too. And we, you know, it's not just a... it's so frustrating trying to talk about this.
I can hear the frustration in your voice.
They just may have made themselves unaccountable.
Mm.
At one stage, Dr. Stuart Rubin on the island here, Stuart is a very clever man. He's an ex-Oxford scholar and he has the equivalent of 4 PhDs.
Mm.
And we wrote to the previous children's commissioner asking him to look at peer-reviewed research from Harvard University about children and cell phones. And Stuart, I don't know what the previous commissioner's qualifications were, but Stuart's would at least be the equivalent and probably higher. And he refused to read it.
Yeah. So you're not that hopeful because you're hearing nothing coming back.
Nothing is coming back.
Yeah. Well, so if people wanted to learn more and so on, how could they get involved? Is there First Stop the Market or your Facebook page?
Well, either or. We'd just be very pleased. The more people that are aware about this, the better. And I would say to all the people who are assuming that there's no harm, I'm saying, look, please look at both sides of this. Mm. When you do, you'll be shocked. It's not a few sort of offbeat scientists that are sort of agin the rest of them. Mm. As long ago as 2010, when a house on Marama Avenue lost $38,000 off its value.
Because of a cell phone tower.
That was because the registered valuers found that international scientific opinion was equally divided. And that's a long time ago.
Right.
And since then, these
Even that division of opinion had that impact in the real world.
In the real world.
Dropping somebody's equity by 38 grand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was before these emissions were Category 2B.
Yeah, right.
And I'd also like to say that insurance companies won't insure against harm. None of them, not even Lloyds of London.
They won't insure what?
Against harm from these emissions.
Oh, okay.
Or cell phone, brain tumours. Right. They will not.
Sort of doesn't surprise me.
No.
Really. Yeah. Stephanie Honeychurch, we've got to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming in this morning, for helping us try to understand this very complex issue, and I would encourage anybody who's interested in this issue to go and do their own research, to go and do their own reading, to go and make up their own mind. This is going to be a long and difficult fight. Let's inform ourselves and make up our own opinions and make up our own minds. Stephanie, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.